This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Remember them? Dancing in the street. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. The Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, dancing along with my buddy Big Ed Davis in the studio. And we thank you very much for being with us. It is Wednesday, April the 24th, as we move along in the month. And we have a lot going on, as per usual. In a few minutes, George Beebe of the Quincy Institute is going to join us. We're going to talk to him about how all the USA to the Ukraine wastes both money and lives if there is really no clear strategy behind it. So stay tuned for that. We'll be talking with him in just a couple of minutes. And anti-Israeli protests now breaking out on campuses across the country. You knew this was going to happen. Now they're including demands that companies stop doing business in Israel. It's really getting out of hand. We're going to take a look at all of this. And the Biden administration now says that airlines have to give you back cash if they cancel your flight, not credit for another flight down the road. Here is the question. Although it sounds great, should the government have that right to do that to airlines? We're going to take a look at that. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 states with the most lakes. Yeah. And that'll be towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. I have never found a better place for a man's haircut than Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, men. Great haircut, great price. 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, if you have anything involving a tree, there is no better place, and I've used them, than Arbor Life Tree Service. Tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding. Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. So, the Senate has finally approved a package for aid to both Ukraine and Israel, and we're going to talk about some of this with our buddy George Beebe in just a little while. But in the meantime, with all of that going on, what's going on all of these campuses now across the country? Students at a growing number of U.S. colleges and universities are forming anti-Israeli protests and having encampments with tents and the whole bit. And a unified demand that their schools stop doing any business in Israel. Now, this all started out at a couple of universities in New York, correct? Columbia University and New York NYU. They're seen as the epicenter of the demonstrations, but now from Massachusetts to California, you've got Yale, MIT, you got Berkeley, Southern Cal, Princeton, Harvard, Northwestern, Vanderbilt, University of Michigan, North Carolina, Virginia, it's sort of like a disease, just spreading all over the place. Now, this is coming as the Israeli-Hamas war has gone over 6 months. A little earlier this month, they hit the six-month anniversary. Tens of thousands of civilian Palestinian deaths. The thousands of Israelis that were killed at the very start of the war. International calls for a ceasefire. You got Nancy Pelosi. She's now calling on Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel to step down. Now, that's on the heels of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who wants new elections in Israel. Why are our politicians interfering, especially in the middle of a war? Did anybody call on, from another country, call on Franklin Roosevelt to step down during World War II? Maybe Hitler did. But I don't think the rest of them were saying much. They were too busy fighting a war. And I'm not sure that we should be interfering this way. Pelosi made these comments earlier this week. She was being interviewed on some Irish radio program. She said that Netanyahu's response to the terrorist attack by Hamas has been what she called terrible. She said, we recognize Israel's right to protect itself. We reject the policy and the practice of Netanyahu. Terrible. She said, what could be worse than what he's done in response? He should resign. She said, he's ultimately responsible. Yeah. Based on Nancy Pelosi's advice, I don't know that I would take it if I were Netanyahu. I'd say, Nancy, put your teeth back in your mouth. Right now, it's my job to try and win a war over here. I don't need your advice on this. Especially in the middle of a war. What are you going to do? You're going to call an election while you're fighting on several fronts? I mean, Hamas, Iran, and we're going to call for elections now?
You know, to the protesters that are out there, have you noticed the majority of them are women? Have you noticed that?
You know, that's a good point, and I think you may be right about that. Yeah,
because in Palestine, you don't get those kind of rights for women. And then there's what I call the professional agitators, the ones that like to get up in the policeman's face.
Mm-hmm.
What has that got to do with Palestine? And getting up in their
blaming
face.
Blaming the police.
And
yeah.
Yelling at their face.
Mm-hmm.
Smells a lot like hired help to me.
I just, if you were Jewish and you were going to college on one of these campuses, would you go home while all this was going on?
Oh, with a refund in hand.
Yeah.
You tell
go
me.
Go to the admissions office
and
get your money.
You want me to pay $60,000 a year to sit on my fat behind at home on a camera? That's not working.
No. I agree. That's not being educated. But the threat, you know, walking down the campus, you would feel kind of, I don't think I'd want to walk. If I was Jewish and I was on one of those campuses like at, I don't know, Columbia or whatever, I think I'd want to walk with a bunch of other people that were my friends.
Well, here's the thing. How do you pick them out? You're not Jewish, are you?
No.
I'm not Jewish.
No.
What if I'm walking down the street and they just decide I'm Jewish?
Yeah, you look Jewish to me. All right.
You know?
Yeah.
To me, the Columbia and all those universities have what's called grounds. And when you violate those grounds, you're arrested. Period. And you don't want to show your face. Why? Because you don't want to get expelled? Or you don't want somebody to track where you're really from?
Find out what's going on with your real background.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good point. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, George Beebe of the Quincy Institute is going to be here. We're going to talk about how all this U.S. aid to Ukraine might be wasting both money and lives if there is no clear strategy behind it.
This
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those hair-cutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
There she was, just a walking down the street singing.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, and late last night, a $95 billion, that's with a B, billion-dollar package with aid to both Ukraine and Israel passed the Senate. After the House's various adjustments were approved in the lower chamber over the weekend, now by a vote of 79-18, the package goes to Biden's desk. He is expected to sign off on the additional foreign aid. So there we go. In the meantime, George Beebe is joining us. We've had him on before. He's a very interesting and delightful man. He is the director of grand strategy at the Quincy Institute. And we're going to talk with George about all this money that we're sending over to the Ukraine. But do we have a strategy behind it? George, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you very much.
So, on the heels of the Senate passing all this money, and what a crazy situation is going on with all of this this aid at the time, right now with Ukraine and Israel and all this, and concerned about the border. But you mentioned that we don't have a real strategy, and if we don't get one, we're wasting both money and lives. Would you expand on that a little bit?
Well, yeah. Various voices in Congress now for quite some time have been asking the Biden administration, what is the plan? What is your strategy for achieving success in Ukraine? How do you define success? And the Biden administration has not been willing to answer that question, either privately or publicly. They've basically adopted a formula of, well, we just have to keep supporting Ukraine for as long as it takes, and they won't say what it is or how long they expect this to go on. And in fact, in this new package of aid, there's a provision in there that requires the Biden administration within 45 days to report to Congress what its strategy is, which tells you that they don't have one yet, or they wouldn't have put that kind of language in this law. So we have here a package that spends money but doesn't have a plan to support.
Yeah.
And that's a formula, I think, for failure in Ukraine.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And people have been asking, where is the money exactly going? Are we keeping tabs on it? The truth is, we don't know where any of this money is going. And like you say, you send money over there, it's easy to send money, it's not their money, it's our money, right? So they vote to send it over, and then we lose track of it. And I think you mentioned the bulk of the money goes towards, if I'm not mistaken, replenishing America's own diminished military stockpiles. Caught up in all of this. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. So there's almost $61 billion for Ukraine in this package. And of that, less than $14 billion is to procure new weapons for Ukraine. Then there's $8 billion in financial support that basically keeps the Ukrainian government afloat. Beyond that, everything else goes to the U.S. itself, to replenishing stockpiles that we have depleted earlier in this war by sending what we had on the shelves off to Ukraine. So our shelves are close to being empty. We have to replace those, and that's what this aid is going for. And that's going to take years. You don't do that in 6 months or a year. It's going to be many, many years to produce the weapons that we've provided to Ukraine so far in this war and replace them in U.S. Inventories.
What is the Secretary of State doing? Isn't he supposed to go? Isn't he supposed to be like sitting down with people and figuring out some sort of a we're going to send money over there, then we should have a dog in the fight. Isn't he going to sit down with people and try and resolve it? I don't. It just seems like we're flailing our arms.
Well, yeah, I think we're in a very unusual position where the people in the U.S. government that have been talking most soberly about a strategy for Ukraine and arguing that we need to couple this military support to diplomacy have been in the Pentagon. The warfighters have been making this case. And our Secretary of State, who is our chief diplomat, who should be a voice for diplomacy, has been the major hawk in all of this, arguing that, no, we should not be talking to the Russians. We should not be aiming towards some sort of acceptable settlement that secures Ukraine and protects America's own interests, but rather we need to just keep fighting until Russia is dealt a strategic defeat. Well, things aren't going well on that front. The Russians are looking stronger and stronger the more this war goes on. And our own position, our negotiating leverage, is weakening over time. So time's not on our side in all of this.
Yeah. We're talking with George Beebe. He's the director of Grand Strategy at the Quincy Institute. He was the former director of Russia Analysis for the Central Intelligence Agency and an advisor to Dick Cheney when he was vice president regarding Russia. So he knows what he's talking about. And I was just going to ask you, you're kind of answering it for me. Is Ukraine losing the war? And it seems like the longer this is going, the worse it's becoming, and perhaps the less ability we may have to negotiate with Putin.
No, I think that's exactly right. The Russians have turned this into a war of attrition. They're trying to exhaust Ukraine's reserves of manpower and their reserves of weapons and ammunition that they can fire in this war. And that attrition strategy is working. And it's not surprising. The Russians have at least five times the population of Ukraine. Ukraine has lost millions of war refugees since the beginning of this invasion. They are really struggling to put troops on the front to fight against the Russians right now. And the United States, over the course of the last several decades, has lost a lot of manufacturing capability, not just in civilian industry, but in military industry. And that means the Russians are actually producing artillery shells and missiles and weapons at a much faster rate than not just Ukraine, but all of the West, the United States and Europe combined. That is not a good formula. That means that over time, Russia is simply going to outlast the Ukrainians and their Western backers, and that's not a good situation.
No. It seems to me that people in this country are losing patience, too. They're starting to question our involvement and investment over there. What do you think?
Yes, I think that's true. I think if you look at polling results, you see growing skepticism about the war and U.S. involvement in this. And I think that's only natural. When it looked early in the war like Ukraine might have the momentum and the upper hand, I think there was greater willingness to support this. But that picture has changed rather dramatically, and I think American concerns have grown as the battlefield picture has changed. And I think American voters should be asking the question, how does this war end? Is this just another formula for forever war? And, you know, this time not in some backwater, but against the world's largest nuclear power. Have we really thought through the implications of all this?
Right.
These are questions we need to be asking.
So let me ask you, George, if you were in the chair in Washington there, would you continue to invest? Would you put a hold on the investment? Do you think we should be involved anymore with Ukraine at all? Should we just let Ukraine and Russia fight it out, even if Russia wins?
Well, you know, look, this war was avoidable. We shouldn't have been facing the situation that we're in the first place. But that said, we're now in it. Mistakes were made. Now the question is, what do we do moving forward? And I think we need continued military support to Ukraine, but it has to be tied to a negotiating strategy. We need to look at that aid to Ukraine as negotiating a leverage to press the Russians to come to an acceptable compromise. If we just cut off the Ukrainians altogether, Ukraine will collapse. We won't have a negotiated settlement. We'll have a situation where Russia dictates the end of this war. That's not good for anyone. I would argue it's not even good for Russia. Yes, we need to support the Ukrainians, but we have to find a way out of this war. We have to have a diplomatic strategy.
Do we have any leverage with Russia? Can we force them to back away? Can we make them come to the table to negotiate?
Well, the funny thing in this is the Russians say they want to come to the table to negotiate. They've been saying this repeatedly. We ought to take them up on this. You know, if they're bluffing, fine, call their bluff. But I don't think they are bluffing. And the reason why is they can't get everything they need just by winning the war in Ukraine. They have bigger concerns that mean they have to talk to the United States and Europe. Their bigger concerns are NATO. Their bigger concerns are the security architecture in Europe. And what the Russians are looking at is a long-term confrontation with NATO in Europe that shuts off Russia from trade with the West, makes Russia dependent on China to an extraordinary degree. They don't like that prospect. They'd rather have a more balanced relationship, but they can't get it unless they negotiate with us. That's the leverage that we can and should use.
You know, do you think that because Russia will insist on keeping the Crimea and maybe a portion of the rest of the eastern edge of the Ukraine, that this is partly the reason that that the United States does not want to become involved in sitting down, because they know that that's what's going to be the ultimate decision, and they don't want to look like they're, you know, handing over a portion of Ukraine to Russia?
Well, and there's no way that we should hand over a portion of Ukraine to Russia. That's not something the United States should be in the business of doing. That's up to the Ukrainians to decide. I very much doubt that any Ukrainian government would officially say, yeah, that's yours. We recognize that as Russian territory. I think what we're probably going to have to head to is a situation where nobody officially recognizes that land as Russian. Much like in Cyprus or on the Korean Peninsula, the Korean War ended in an armistice, but there's no peace, and neither side recognizes that boundary line as legitimate. So we can have a situation where the war ends, the fighting ends, but both sides say, look, we're not going to formally come to an agreement on territory. We're simply going to say we're not going to fight it anymore over it.
I see. So, in other words, like the Crimea would be like a, I don't know, a no man's land, a demilitarized zone? Those people, they're going to become a little bit, who's in charge here? I mean, how do you do that?
Well, you know, this happened with the United States and the Baltic states during the Cold War. The U.S. government never recognized the incorporation of the Baltic states into the Soviet Union. Every map that the U.S. government generated for decades had a little inset saying the United States does not recognize the incorporation of the Baltics into the Soviet Union. But we still were able to conduct business. We still had diplomatic relations. We could reach agreements on things we needed to reach. I suspect that's where we're going to have to be in Ukraine.
Yeah, you may be right about that. George, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I always learn something when we have these discussions. Thank you so very much. I look forward to our next chat together.
Right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. George Beebe of the Quincy Institute.
Well, that's a little eye-opening there in the beginning there, where George was talking about the fact that our weapons have been depleted to go along with our strategic oil reserves have been depleted. Boy, our pants around our ankles right now.
We're giving up everything, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah, it's been... it's a very, very fragile, unstable, scary time in this country. I've never seen it so fragile. I'm really worried. I'm worried about how the fabric of this country is really ripping apart.
And when Trump says he could end this thing in 24 hours, I don't know if that... But I guarantee you one thing, he will talk to Putin, and Putin will talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think within time something could be arranged.
Yeah.
Rather quickly.
Yeah. And I know he's got to be better than what we got. He can't be worse than what we got right now.
There are people in the administration right now that say, you can't talk to a bully or a dictator, blah, 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 blah. Well,
we talk to them all the time through history.
The little fat guy in South Korea, in North Korea, we talk to him, shut him up.
You got to talk to him.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, the Biden administration says that airlines now have to give passengers cash money refunds on canceled flight, not just credit them for future trips. We're going to talk about it.
Brother Bellies in the back, sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly, red blue lights flash us from behind. Loud voice booming, please step out onto the line.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Wednesday. Nice day in Tampa Bay this morning, by the way. So, I guess our buddy Joe Biden made another big gaffe, and he has conservative commentators admitting that they now agree with what he said. Did you hear about this? He was at a campaign here in Tampa yesterday, believe it or not, and he spoke at this campaign rally that focused on the state's six-week abortion ban, set to go into effect, by the way, on May the 1st. During the rally, he made, of course, several references to Donald Trump. Among them, he said this, listen, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove that we cannot be trusted? And so there was an audible laugh from the crowd when he said that. And he didn't even seem to realize what he had said.
So the crowd laughed. You mean both of them?
Yeah. Audience members, all three of them could be heard laughing after his comment. But Biden continued, apparently not noticing what he said.
I don't know. First of all, I wouldn't be in his presence because I couldn't stand the man. But I don't know if I could hold my tongue when he does something like that without yelling out, "Hey, stupid, read the prompter."
Yeah. Well, there were several conservative people that jumped on the quote. One said, "Not satire." This is the guy from the Babylon Bee, I guess, as the CEO. Outkick contributor Tommy Alarin said, "Well, even a blind squirrel finds a nut." Red State columnist Buzz Patterson, "If they tell you who they are, believe them." And then a radio host by the name of Tony Kinnett said, "Man's going to endorse Trump at this rate." So there you go. Again, his quote was, "I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?"
Folks, you got six more months to go of this.
Wow.
He's not going to get any younger.
I'll tell you. Hey, we got the master barber with us. I don't know if he heard the quote. I doubt that he was one of the three people that attended the Biden campaign rally in Tampa. How you doing there, Andrew?
Wonderful, Paul. I wanted to go. Did you notice they wouldn't say where he was going?
They never do.
No. They don't want anybody to know. There'd be too many demonstrators.
There'd be 10,000 Trump supporters there, buddy, throwing eggs at him.
Now, normally they don't give the route of the president once he lands at Tampa Airport or whatever. They don't give you what route he's going to take. They just shut down the roads. But usually they say he's going to he's going to visit here, he's going to visit there. I mean, when Clinton was here, we knew where he was going to be. We just didn't know the route he was going to take. I think they did the same thing with his wife too, Jill Biden, Dr. Jill. They didn't say where she was going to be, just that she would be in the area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
I got to clarify one thing because I was listening to your speaker before I come on
George
here.
George,
you know, when he was saying that, you know, Russia doesn't want to depend on China to get everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we do.
Yeah.
We depend on China.
Yes, we do, big time.
Okay, I mean, I had to clarify that. And now another thing. I've been watching these demonstrations with these college kids. I want to know who's funding them. Are they all going to the same place to buy the same tents or what?
Yes. The answer is they are being funded.
All you got
to okay. We need to find out who is funding them.
Start rounding them up. I mean, listen, the agitators that are in police. If I go out this door, find the nearest Clearwater cop, and get in his face and yell, "Guess what? I'm going to jail." For disorderly conduct, whatever.
Well, I can tell you this. I see the way they're handling this. They aren't doing a damn thing about it. What we need to do is pay the farmers to go there with the manure cannons. Shoot these people with the cow manure, buddy, just like they do in the fields for their crops. You want to see the crowd disperse real quick? Yeah. What is wrong with this government? They do nothing. I'd be there in a minute with manure cannons, buddy.
By the way, Trump said that he plans to fire the radical left individuals that have allowed our colleges to become dominated by what he calls Marxist maniacs and lunatics.
And he's right.
Yeah, and ensure higher education is focused on, quote, defending the American tradition, unquote, if he's elected.
Yep, and another thing. You know, you got Trump on trial for his hush money to the happy hooker there. Well, what about Chuck Schumer? Remember he came up on Heidi Flum's list? What did they call her?
The
madam or something there?
Yeah, the
how come? Yeah, I mean, Chucky must have paid something there to keep it quiet, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. You know how many politicians have paid off these people over the years? It would fill a phone book.
Phone book would start with Bill Clinton.
You got it. I mean, we got all of these people paying. And you know what? You can do that. There's nothing illegal about paying somebody off to keep quiet. It happens all the time. It's actually not illegal. And this is why Even if it was illegal, it's not a New York issue. This is the other thing. New York has no jurisdiction.
But I thought that was
New York has no jurisdiction in the hush money trial. This was a federal. The feds decided not to prosecute it. This is not a state of New York issue. Does anybody not understand that?
I thought it was extortion.
It's just crazy.
Well,
it's crazy.
If it's extortion, you can go the other way. But I'm saying you can come to an agreement. If I don't want you to say something about me, say I'm going to run for office, I can come up to you and say, look, I know that I did this, that, and the other thing, and you know about it. Now, I'd rather that you don't bring it up publicly. So can I come and you say to me, sure, let's figure something out, and okay. You know what? There's nothing wrong with doing that. It happens all the time,
right? I guess the extortion part.
You know, I'll tell you what. I think the mafia had a better idea when they didn't want people to talk.
That's true.
End of story.
Yeah. I'll make you an offer you can't refuse.
That's right. I mean, this is crazy. You got Biden out campaigning about abortion, or they got Trump locked up over there. Let me tell you something. Let them put him in jail. That's what they need to do. Let them morons put him in jail and watch what's going to happen with the public here.
Yeah. You got some morons, speaking about morons, that want to take away his Secret Service if he's found guilty. They want to take away his Secret Service.
Yep,
can you imagine that? Can you imagine the hate they must have for that guy?
I don't understand why. I mean, the hate. I mean, I almost had to give up a very good friendship last night. I called you, and I'll talk about it to you later.
Okay.
But what was going on with Trump and this election and everything else. Finally, I had to sit there and say what I felt, and I couldn't help it.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm seeing this. I'm getting more disgusted and more disgusted every day.
Mm-hmm.
That you got Nancy Pelosi telling Netanyahu he needs to resign.
Yeah.
What the hell is she talking about?
I know.
What is she, 86 years old? I'd love to see them drag her out in a freaking wheelchair. I'm so disgusted with them. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And a few of them have heart attacks. I got news for you. It's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, we got Schumer and we got Pelosi directing Israeli traffic in a war. Yeah, in the middle of a war, we're going to have the prime minister resign. That's a great timing vehicle.
Where are these people coming from? Well, again, career politicians, what's she been around, 40 freaking years?
A long time.
Eh? Lucky she should have worked for the post office. They would have given her a pension in 25.
Yes, they would have. You're right about that.
And we have to put up with her crap and all these dumb. I'm sorry, they're disgusting me.
Yeah,
I had to tell one person the other day. Oh, well, you know what did Trump do? I had to give them a list of what Trump did because they're too stupid to know. I said, just go up to the gas pump. That ought to tell you. Or why don't you get in your golf cart and drive 300 miles? You know, it's disgusting. It's total. What the hell is this country coming to, huh?
Yeah.
We're letting a bunch of high school or college people dressed in Arab garb saying death to America. You know, by saying death to America, you know what they're really doing? They're saying death to Biden. He's the president of this country, right?
Yeah.
He's the one running it. That's what they're saying.
Of course.
You know, that's something I don't understand.
Yeah.
If Biden is doing nothing about these protests
and
they're getting upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Trump is going to do when he's in office?
Mm-hmm.
Get the manure cannons.
He will pull out the water cannons for that.
Well, we just said what he said he would do. He will fire the radical left from colleges and focus on defending American tradition. That's what he said he's going to do.
Yeah, no question about it. And then you were talking earlier, the government's involved with the airlines. Now, what right do they have to tell anybody what to do with their business?
That's what I was going
to
talk about.
We can't tell them what to do with their business, but they want to tell us what to do with ours, and you got a bunch of morons that can't even balance a budget giving money away that they don't have, and they're going to run my business? Forget about
it. That's right.
The only thing with the airlines, and it is so one-sided with the airlines, they can treat you and do anything they want to you, whether it's cancel your flight, they don't allow you to move your flight around, they don't allow you to transfer a ticket from one person to another, anything like that. There's so many restrictions, yet they don't have any restrictions on them.
I was going to talk, maybe I should talk about it now. I think that it's because of government involvement that we have some of these things going on right now that you're talking about. I think that, the less involvement and the more choice that you have without the government interfering in the airlines or any of these other areas, because these are private sector things. Transportation, in my opinion, should be a private sector enterprise, not a government-run enterprise. I don't like the idea of a government running Amtrak or a government money paying for a passenger from, you know, say, Los Angeles to San Francisco or from Tampa to Orlando. I don't think that the government should be involved in that.
No, not at all.
Absolutely not. And I think the fewer things that you have the government involved in when it comes to this kind of thing, you'll have more choices. And airlines will, with competition, they're going to hand you back your money without the government being involved in it.
Well, you're right, and there's enough airlines, Paul, where they can compete.
Yeah, there you go.
There is
the more airlines, the better.
There is a penalty that is in your ticket that if they sell your seat or overbook your flight, you can stand there and demand not only your money back but three times that amount, and it must be paid in cash.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I've actually seen. Because somebody said, "Oh, cried, you know, BS on that one," and saw people do that, go up to the counter and say, "Listen, my flight was a $400 ticket," and they wound up getting $1,200 back.
Yeah, I'm all for that as long as the government doesn't mandate it. I don't want the government saying that. I want the airlines to say, "You know what? You're going to go to another airline, and I'll never see you again. I'm going to give you back your money and then some." That's, to me, that's the way to do it. You know. That's the way to do it. Not to have the government say, "Okay, now do this."
But then
if they can say that to an airline, they can say it to you when you're running your own little business down the street and say, "Now we want you to do this from now on."
Other than the banks, who during the pandemic, who are the first ones with their hands out for a loan?
Of course,
the airlines.
Insurance companies and airlines and medical companies and everything, they have become so beholden to the government because the government's going to hand them money. So now they're going to, okay, whatever, we'll dance to your tune. No. I think that's what's ruining insurance companies. I think it's what's ruining health care. I think the quality of our health care has gone down the sink. We used to be the number one health care. Everybody came to the United States. Remember, Andrew? Everybody, we had the best doctors. We had the most innovations, and we had less government involved in our health care. Now, we're a mediocrity when it comes to health care. Go ahead.
That's because the government is running. If anything the government is involved in turns to crap.
That's exactly
anything.
Correct.
Anything they touch.
We have forgotten what the government's... What the intent of our founding fathers was for the government. It was only to basically allow us to be free, to protect our borders, to coin our money, and to have a court system that would only interfere in your life if one person was harming another. And that was the role of government. Other than that, you were supposed to be free in this country, and that's kind of what we followed and made us the greatest country in the world.
Protect our borders. What the hell is that?
Paul, you know what else the government forgot what the Second Amendment was written for?
Yeah.
It wasn't to go deer hunting. It was to protect yourself from a tyrannical government.
That's right. That's part of it.
They forgot about that, didn't they?
Yes. Of course. They want to interfere. They want to wander into your house. They want to take your guns away. They want to adjust your furnace. They want to adjust your dishwasher. They want to adjust your refrigerator and your stove. They want to adjust everything. They want to put solar panels on your house, whether you like them or not, whether they work or not, and make you pay for them.
And they want to limit how far you can drive.
There you go.
On a charge.
That's exactly right.
Unbelievable. Enough.
And if I sound like an old crank, I am.
Get off the grass is all I can say.
Get off my grass.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Enough is enough with this stuff. I mean, people of this country should be embarrassed what's going on to Trump. Everybody else can talk about Trump's trial, but Trump? What are these people, crazy?
Yeah.
He's got a right to defend himself. He can't, let me tell you, what right does this judge have to tell him, "You've got to stay in New York"? The guy's got his own plane. He can fly to his son's graduation and be to court the next morning at 9 o'clock. Yeah. Who the hell is this guy to tell him that you can't?
Right.
This guy needs to be taken care of real well, believe me.
Yeah,
and the time will come.
I think he's going to be pressured into allowing him to go to Barron's graduation. That's my feeling. Well, we'll see what happens. It's always a pleasure, Andrew. Always, buddy.
Well, you guys have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, we'll talk later, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, the top 10 states with the most lakes.
Sometimes wonder why all the flowers had to die.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back to the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for listening in. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the great Tantalk Radio Network. Always glad when you find time to listen. But if you're busy, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to the show anytime you'd like. All you've got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on that podcast button at the top. Ed's got all the shows on there for you. You'll see the most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the topic is with the guest. And you lucky people, you'll see what the top 10 is as well. OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, before we get into our top 10, I was watching the hockey game last night between the Lightning and the Florida Panthers. And I'll be honest with you, I was involved in a little trivia thing going on, and so I didn't finally find out who won that game. Who won that game last night?
Not the Lightning.
Oh, boy. They lost again?
Yep.
Oh, nuts. Was it in overtime, or did
they? Yes, it did. Went in overtime.
Okay, all right.
So they're down 2-0.
Oh, boy.
They come back here for 3.
What do you think? Do you think we're going to be able to survive the Panthers?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
The Panthers have a better record. I was hoping, because you know the Lightning seemed relatively healthy.
I don't think they have the firepower they did before.
You're right.
They're not as big as they were before, and not as intimidating as they were before.
You know, they've lost a step. It's a few years older.
And then to top it off down the road, the Rays have now lost 4 in a row.
Have they?
Yeah.
That's not good. What's going on here?
They're
going
to be a really crappy team this year.
You think?
Yeah.
Why? No pitching?
You know, when a pitcher gets Tommy John surgery, it's 2.5 to 3 years. And they've had so many of their top guys go down that they're all on the shelf. They're all on the shelf, and the players, they lost, 4-2. It's a struggle to get 2 runs out, for crying out loud. So
who is doing it right now? Who is the best in the major leagues, baseball-wise?
I think the Braves are up there right now.
The Braves are usually pretty good.
Yeah, but then they peter out when it comes to playoff time, too.
Uh-huh. They always fall apart. Yeah. Dodgers are usually good.
The Dodgers are kind of up there. Okay. I forget who else. Somebody else was
doing. How about the American League? How about
the Yankees are on top right now.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, some of the old regulars are back up there.
Yep.
All right. All right, Ed, it's time for our top 10. I think this is an interesting one. This comes from worldpopulationreview.com. It lists here the top 10 states that have actually the most lakes, the highest number of lakes. Let's see if you'll know what is number one. So here we go. Number 10 is Wyoming. Would you believe Wyoming? It's a big state.
Wow.
Considered one of our most beautiful states. A lot of those landscapes include water, along with the attractions like Yellowstone. It holds over 4,000 lakes and reservoirs.
No alligators.
And no alligators. Number 9. Texas, another big state, even though Texas has very few natural lakes. If you were to look at a map, you'd see over 7,000 lakes. One of those naturally occurring lakes is Lake Caddo, which spans over 25,000 acres. Number 8, New York. Indeed, there is a combination of 7,600 freshwater lakes, ponds, and reservoirs in the Empire State, as well as 70,000 miles of rivers and streams. Number 7, Washington. Washington State has over 8,000 lakes due to multiple factors, including snow melt, glacier melt, and a network of freezing and thawing underground lava tubes. Okay. Number 6, Michigan. We know that. Michigan is one of those border states along the Great Lakes. They have over 11,000 lakes. Number 5, right to the west of Michigan is Wisconsin, and they have 15,000 plus lakes in Wisconsin. By the way, only about 6,000 of those lakes have a name. The rest are just lakes.
And they all freeze.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Number 4, right next door to Wisconsin, the land of 10,000 lakes, they call it.
That'd be number 1.
Yeah, it's Minnesota, number 4. They obviously don't have the most. However, they have the most named lakes, about 15,300 natural lakes, 11,800 of which are bigger than 10 acres. Number 3. Now, this might surprise you, Ed. Number 3 is Florida.
No, that doesn't surprise me.
Okay, you're not surprised. They have the third highest number of lakes. They have 30,000 lakes here in Florida. It covers over 3 million acres of land. And this includes our biggest lake,
Okeechobee.
Okeechobee. It's the fourth largest naturally occurring lake in the U.S. All right. Number 2. Now, I can't understand why I've got this as number 2, because I read it as number 6. But somehow, number 2 is Michigan. I don't know. There must be some sort of mistake
here. Is it
here.
UP? Maybe Upper Peninsula?
Maybe it's Upper. It just says by their own ruling on how to count lakes, they only have 10,000. These all measure over 5 acres in surface. If you don't limit the amount by that logic, they have over 64,000 lakes and ponds statewide.
Mm.
All right. All right, Ed. What do you think is the number one state with the most lakes?
I thought it was Minnesota.
Well, when you hear it, you'll say yes.
Mm.
You want to guess? It's far away.
Washington?
Further away.
Alaska.
Yeah.
Mm.
Alaska, with its sheer size, no surprise, Alaska has the most lakes in the country, with about 3,200 officially named natural lakes and 3 million unnamed natural lakes in Alaska.
Mm.
And we talk about freezing over. I bet a few of those will freeze over from time to time. I'd like to go to Alaska if I ever get an opportunity.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great just to spend a week there floating around on a ship. Anyway, thank you so very much for listening. We will be back on Friday. Drive safely out there, and always remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. President Biden right now signing the Foreign